Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, John McClain will be by at 4:20. And it is always a pleasure to get to chop it up with our good friend, former Texans wide receiver, father of seven.
That's still crazy to think about.
pro day, private coach extraordinaire, yep. Cecil Shorts joining us here at Little Woodrow's on Shepherd.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
How's
good
life treating you?
Life is good. I'll be honest with the listeners. My son just had open heart surgery on Tuesday.
Three-year-old
son, Montana, had open heart surgery on Tuesday. So we've been dealing with that and just being at the hospital full time. He's doing awesome, though. Surgery went well. He's recovering well. So we're just dealing with that. And it's tough to see any child of yours, man, that you love, you guys both being fathers, to see them in that state. But he's been so encouraging, man. He is a super tough guy. Super tough kid, resilient, man. He's doing an awesome job. So
you being available to do this today tells me he's okay.
Yes.
That he's doing well. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm sorry. I love you guys.
Of course. Of course. No, it's great news to have you here, but it's always great news to have you, but it also says something else more than it usually does.
It does. It does. He's doing really well. The doctors here, are awesome, man. They have been doing a wonderful job of keeping us updated, being very honest, making us comfortable, especially my wife, making her really comfortable with the whole process and everything that's going on. So it's been good. And then with you guys, your support, and then, family and friends around the city, helping out with dinners and babysitting, it's been huge. We got six others at home
yeah.
that you still got to take care of and take to school and take to baseball yep. and gymnastics and all that other stuff. So, yeah.
How much do your other kids ask you about what Montana's going through right now?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day, all day.
What do you say to them?
We're honest with them.
Yeah.
Just keep it to their level. We don't go in too much detail.
Yeah.
But we're honest with them and let them know what's going on. And we'll bring them up tomorrow afternoon to come see Montana.
Oh, so this will be the first time they've seen him since he went through the procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be good.
That hospital doesn't know what they're in for, man.
Oh, they have no
the
clue.
The shorts gang comes in. Actually, it's
the
a
big
best,
white van.
It's the best behaved seven kid crew that you're ever going to find anywhere. So it's
Big Z roll up on them.
Big
yeah.
Z, yeah. For those that don't know, Cecil drives a family size van that's big and white, and they call it Big Z. Why?
Zydrunas
Ilgauskas. The big white center
big
from
white
Cleveland.
Guy.
This is where, if this were in the loop, they go, race car.
Yep, there it is.
All right, man. Well, it's great to have you on the show. John McClain's going to jump in at 4:20. So I feel like there's topics we were going to hit with you in that last hour that we were going to hit with John. So we'll just roundtable things about the Texans free agency and whatnot throughout the rest of the 4 o'clock hour. The thing specifically that I think Rich and I want to get into with you, first off the top, not even a football topic, more of a coaching topic.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo last night, and I know you've watched it, and I know you've been watching the basketball. Tom Izzo got into one of his freshmen, Aaron Henry, last night
yeah.
when he wasn't playing up to what Izzo felt like were Michigan State standards. So it made for certainly a viral visual that went around and got a lot of people up in arms about Tom Izzo's coaching style as if this were something new.
Doing it forever.
Right. Well, here's Izzo, and with you, especially you as a son of a coach,
yeah.
we want to get your thoughts on this. But before we do, here's Tom Izzo answering the questions from the media about his, what some would call a tirade towards his freshman Aaron Henry last night.
One and done time, The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So that's what it was. I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
All right, so you watched the footage of Izzo, and I thought it was interesting, watching teammates of Henry and obviously other players Cassius Winston specifically jumping in between the two of them, even kind of trying to calm Izzo down. What did you see when you watched the footage of that?
I saw nothing wrong. You know, for me, and I'm, I guess, a millennial, being 31 years old.
Yeah.
To me, this generation is entirely too soft, entirely too entitled. It's just the coach saw him doing something bad in a situation where if you don't play well and if you don't do well, you're out. It's like he said, if you win, you're in. When you move on, if you lose, you're out. This young guy was not playing up to his potential. He did what he had to do. After that, he played up to his potential. So for me, and growing up as a my father was my head coach in multiple arenas in high school track coach. Growing up, he's my middle school basketball coach, taught me my whole life. He let me have it anytime I wasn't doing right, but that made me a better person. For example, I know when I was in Jacksonville, I had Jack Del Rio as my coach, and my rookie year, I didn't do much of anything. I had 2 catches for 23 yards and 1 touchdown. I wasn't practicing well, didn't know how to be a pro, didn't know anything. So week 6 or 7, Jack Del Rio took me in his office and he turned on the practice film and he let me have it for a good 15 minutes, cussing me out, dogging me to my face, pointing his finger the whole nine. And that hurt me so much. I had tears in my eyes, but it made me a better pro. From that time on, I figured out what I needed to do. I figured out how to become a better player. And from that point on, I think that's one of the changing points of my career. Because I was on the verge of getting cut right there. So if he didn't get on me and tell me what I wasn't doing right, if he just babied me, oh, Cecil, you're going to be okay, you're going to be all right, which is kind of like this generation, what the media and what people want you to do, kind of just baby you, pat you on the arm. No, let me tell me exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think what the mistake some people make, not all, is applying the standard of normal business practices to the business of big-time sports.
That's true.
And it's just different from an intensity standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, from an intent to intimidate standpoint. I mean, it's apples and oranges to compare to regular business. Obviously, the way Tom Izzo acted in a conventional business setting would be unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I know that stuff still goes on in business settings, but I think less and less is it acceptable in most businesses. But this is not most businesses. This is big time. I'm going to call it pro sports because D1 college basketball is a billion-dollar industry.
You know, pro for Tom Izzo.
Yeah, and he just went there and said, look, if I ran a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be accountable. Well, he's talking about paid employees of an organization the same way he's characterizing his players. So I don't think there's any question you can't make that comparison.
Not at all. And then he didn't go off on a Bobby Knight when he punched somebody in the chest or he didn't do nothing crazy like that. He pointed at him. He grabbed his wrist to bring him over to the huddle. But he told him exactly what he needed to do. And I think because of Cassius, the point guard.
Cassius Winston.
Did a great job of monitoring the situation. Like, you know, hey, man, make sure you're keeping your distance. I know, because as a coach, you can get riled up. You can get intense.
And the way Izzo allowed him to do that is a big tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He trusts him. So I think that situation is overblown.
Yeah, I the Winston thing is the most interesting part of it to me. That Izzo, that was a testament to the type of environment that Izzo has. It allows the leaders on his team to participate in such a way where he can say, hey, coach, let me talk to him. Winston can actually put his hands on Izzo, not in a threatening kind of way, but just put his hands on him in a calming kind of way. You know, it's Izzo's Italian. The Italian, they're very physical with their with their expressiveness and how they coach and love and things like that.
And one thing I watched, too, was the reaction from the player that he was getting on. He was fine.
Yeah.
He even said afterwards he didn't have an issue.
He had no issue. No. My thing is, when you get recruited, you know what you're getting into.
Right.
So he knew what the environment, the culture was when he got there.
Right.
If that player had an issue, I think it would be a different question. But he had no issue with it at all.
He's a freshman. You think that's the first time Izzo's read on the riot act on the court?
Not at all.
Yeah. And do you think he didn't know that when he signed up to go
Not
to Michigan State? I want to go back to your story for a second about Del Rio. Did you ever go back and tell Coach Del Rio that was a turning point for you?
I didn't, because he got fired a couple weeks later.
He did? Okay.
He got fired a couple weeks later. Now, in that meeting, he might have been drunk. I don't know. But at that point in time, he was not the most. We were struggling. There was a lot going on. We weren't the best team. And, you know, he was battling some things. But, yeah, that moment changed my life. I mean, I was in tears. And I was fighting back tears not to cry in front of your head coach.
Yeah.
But he was showing me film, and I'm like, I'm doing my best. But that point right there told me I had so much work to do. And I had to that was a turning point for my career. I had to figure out a way to be better at what I was doing.
Did you think you were doing your best?
I know I was doing my best, but I knew I wasn't producing.
Yeah. Well, you knew you weren't producing. What changed? What specifically did you do? What did you take away from that meeting and go do? Like, it was just that, man, I just got to work even harder than I'm already working, or were there specific things you did with your game?
Well, I went to the veterans of the room. Mm-hmm. I went to the veterans on the team. I talked to Rasheem Mathis at the time, Mercedes Lewis, Maurice Jones-Drew back in 2011, my rookie year. And I talked to those guys, and there was a head coach who's a head coach at Colorado now.
McIntyre?
No, it's not McIntyre. It's
who's the head coach?
He was the defensive coordinator at Georgia. He was defensive coordinator there when I was there at I'm losing his name. But he was an awesome guy. He kind of brought me under his wing after that and helped me get along. So it was a mix of hard work and then reaching out to the veterans and asking questions.
Mel Tucker?
Mel Tucker. That's who it was.
Yeah.
So, but that next year, we had my receiver coach come in, a new receiver coach, because the whole staff got let go, named Jerry Sullivan. And he I'll never forget, I walked in the receiver room, and he marked all the receivers. So we just drafted Justin Blackman. We just paid LaRon Robinson, who had a good year, a really good year at Romo up in Dallas. And he marked all the receivers from 1 to 10, and I was the number 10 on there.
Wow.
And I told him to his face, I'm going to make this team. And that ended up being my best year ever as a pro. Nice.
How gratifying was that?
It was awesome, man. It was just a lot of turning points. So you had to get me going.
You mentioned your dad was your coach.
Yes. Nobody else was harder on me than them.
What was your dad's technique when a player needed a wake-up call? Would he read somebody the riot act?
Oh, absolutely. He So he grew up in his head coach in college. And as we had this conversation today, his head coach in high school kind of went overboard. He was the guy that was punching people, slamming people, the whole nine.
Probably denying water.
Denied water, yes. Salt yes, tablets. All that. So my dad came from that type of cloth. And he wasn't to that extent, but he was very, very hard. He let you know exactly what was going on. And for me, being a son, if I acted crazy or got smart with him, I got snatched up. So that's just how it was. But I think that made me, you know, better as a human and an athlete.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.